cliffcentral.com. Samsung Africa has become a marvelous example of just how big global international businesses can get and how they can spread into new territories. And the person who's had a first-hand account of this and was the man at the helm for much of this time is the former president and CEO of Samsung Africa, Sung Yoon, who's with me today. He'll explain to us how you can take any brand to be a global brand, but I do feel that there's something special about Samsung going on here too, which we'll talk about. The book is out. It is a terrific read, and it's really interesting, in particular for people who are interested in business stories. And the book is called The Samsung Man's Path to Success. So, Mr. Yoon, great pleasure to have you here in the studio with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for having me.
No, it's great to see you. And obviously, there's a lot that we can talk about when we, you know, talk about this enormous brand called Samsung. But just tell us a little bit about your background, first of all, because I think for a lot of people who haven't encountered you in business already, there's probably a lot of curiosity about where you started off, what kind of an education and background you had, mm-hmm. you know, your family, and how you got into this this amazing corporate job.
Well, that's an interesting question. I was born early 1960s when Korea was one of the poorest countries in the world.
Of course, they'd just come out of the war and yes, there was still a lot of tension and mm-hmm. South Korea was really establishing itself as a country.
Yes, it just started to develop the country. But I was born from a poor family. So my father and started his own business and grow sometime when I grew up. But entire Korea was just started from a very poor country, barely made for their livings. So grew up in Korea, and my father started his own business expecting I can take it over mm-hmm. his business, but he struggled when I graduated.
What was his business?
Textile, you know. That's the early stage of a developing country is doing more of a textile type of those necessity products. And then, you know, as I told you, when I graduated, I started small company, joined a company, textile, you know, trading globally. So I learned a lot from medium, that kind of, you know, startup company. I learned from those experience. And then I joined Samsung, expanding my career path to the textile. But after a lot of entrance training, testing, they assigned me to Samsung Electronics. Again, that was in 1989 when Samsung had a very mediocre brand. Not many people even heard about the name. So since then, surprisingly, I was lucky. I was there. That brand grew from mediocre to global top leading brand. So that's what I try to share my experiences, how I got challenges and how I got failed and how I overcome together with my big organization. It has slightly over 100 episodes.
Now, there are quite a lot of things that were happening at that time. I mean, you talk about Korea in the 60s when you were young, but then obviously by the 1980s, electronics had become a very big business. And it was really around the time of mobile mm-hmm. that things started to accelerate. But you were there for that entire period. So you really had an eyewitness front row seat to the development of all of this technology. Mm-hmm. But also to the incredible acceleration of South Korea as a country, and really one of the most extraordinary development stories in all of the world, because mm-hmm. the economy was really tough in the beginning and started booming because of the incredible work that people were putting in yeah. and the amount of research and development. The market was changing. Obviously, there was huge demand for the articles and the technological advances that had been made in a company like Samsung. So it must have been an exciting time to be involved in this stuff.
Yeah, well, when I joined Samsung, and Samsung Electronics actually started from 1970, right? So 1980s and the 1990s, we made some product, but it was not well recognized, accepted to the consumers.
More appliances than anything else.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, we invested a lot for the R&D, research and development and the engineering side, how we can catch up the gap for the front runners. So, you know, gradually we come up with the good technology and the product, but sales is not there, right? Although we can see compared to top tier brand, for example, Sony TV, over 30 years, we can not even can make a two-digit market share at all, low one digit. But when we compare the product, the engineering skill, we caught up a lot. So realize, hey, sales is not just you know, building relationship and having dinner together type of thing. So how we can grow together with the our business partners who are the retail, the chains, and the telco owners. So that's the whole of my story covering U.S. I was working in Samsung U.S. 16 years for three times assignment. And that's where I learned all those the strategic partnership, how we can establish and apply exactly the same thing 4 years in South Africa for my last assignment with Samsung.
Well, before we get to South Africa, I'm curious also about what you just said now. It's about those strategic partnerships and those relationships that you have with people. It's also about the quality of the products, obviously. Yeah. But the timing is really important. Mm-hmm. And I've already mentioned mobile. But really, that revolution started in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it changed everything.
Yes.
Because those products suddenly became the most valuable products in the world. They became the most used products in the world, and everyone needed to have one. I mean, by the end of, I suppose, 2004-5, you know, they were ubiquitous. Almost everybody in the world knew what they were, and if they didn't have one, they wanted one.
Right. Exactly. So we call now feature phone, sending message type of mobile, you know. That
when you have to type the word out with the keys.
So we thought that's good enough, right, for the communication. But honestly, when the Apple iPhone launched 2007, Steve Jobs for his launch, that was kind of eye-opening new era started. So Samsung Mobile was quite behind for the smartphone. So 2007, you know, still it was quite good technology, and people just tried to get adapted. That's the total portion was 2%, 3% of the entire mobile industry.
Wow.
But it grew fast.
So, well, it didn't just grow. As you say in your book, I mean, really, it became about Apple and Samsung.
Yeah.
And at some point, Samsung superseded Apple in terms of things like camera, the screen, the software on the phones. How did that happen?
So again, let's go back to 2007 when iPhone started a new era for the smartphone. So Samsung was behind. And just like a TV case, we got improvement, all the research investment, day and night, actually, we worked like that. So we reduced the gap, technology gap and product gap to iPhone. So almost equal or some functions, features were better than iPhone. But the gap, market share, consumer's mind is Samsung, do you make a smartphone type of thing until 2010, 11? So when we got the new product called the Galaxy smartphone, still it's not selling well in America. So that's why our my company Samsung Electronics Time Management sent me back to America. Hey, fix this issue. So what I can share it with you is just like think about a small medium scale companies in South Africa or startup companies. So they have a good skill or concept or software or hardware. But how they can sell? There are, you know, tons of competitions, but the brand and the marketing is not that easy.
Yeah.
So The way I caught up and at certain point we beat iPhone was again started with our partners. Hey, partner, what kind of product do you need? What kind of functions, right? And what kind of price? It's not always the lowest price. No, they said, no, I want to sell some premium good product. Right.
And if you price those too low, yeah, it's also not good for mm-hmm. you because people think there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, but can you add this type of key features? It's not in the market, but that will be really... Think about Samsung is, yes, engineering the manufacturer, but the telcos or retailers know their customers better. So we collaborate, build up the strategic partnership, I keep saying, is listen from them, and they are sharing their marketing information. It's not confidential, but they see, and we develop new product for next year. And so, that hit the consumers. Wow, it's really cool device design, and the functions exactly what I need.
So just, I want to stop there for a second, because a lot of people who have used Samsung phones have probably already forgotten what was there before the Galaxy and everything else. What were the features and what were the things that people were asking for at that time that you could act quickly on and deliver?
Mm-hmm. So those are the same important features with the smartphone. Right? Those days at the beginning, 3-inch is kind of the biggest smartphone. But we come up with the 5-inch.
Yeah.
And even Steve Jobs joked us, a smartphone does not need to go over 3.5-inch, but he changed his mind. So screen is important. Right. It's not just a size. How, we communicate all those emails, informations, and website, the type of thing. And the second is the camera.
Right.
By that time, many people carry the camera. Don't get me wrong, still we need a camera, but camera has been improved a lot because Samsung had the camera division. So all those technology we put in the camera and the phone easy to use and the quality. So those are three key things we focused and actually advanced, far advanced than Apple when they were enjoying the first mover advantage. So it took a couple of years, like 2 to 3 years. Then the response from the consumers, Samsung Galaxy phone is worthwhile to try, right? And iOS and Android, obviously a little challenging thing, but when they use the phone function-wise, this is better, right? I'm not saying just Samsung versus Apple. That's something the companies in South Africa, regardless of hardware, software, or mining, think about what consumers really need. Small, minor, subtle things change will move the needle of customers' acceptance, adaptation. So that's the way Samsung grew mediocre brand. And as you said, many people think, what are you talking about? Samsung is a good brand, global, and a good product. That's based on our listening to the real consumers, what they need.
Right.
And then we checked every capabilities to develop those functions with a reasonable price.
Yeah, and in South Africa, as you also say in the book, you had tremendous success with market share here. I mean, in America, it was obviously there was the prime mover advantage for Apple. There was also the fact that people are familiar with their products over the course of, 20, 30 years already by that stage. Whereas you come in and, it's the South Korean brand that people didn't know very well in the States. But here in South Africa, you guys did all the right marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You must have spent a lot of money making sure that you knew what was going on in this market. And you had those partnerships. And of course, in South Africa at that time, there were two big network carriers in the beginning. There eventually became three and then four and so on.
Yeah.
But how did you develop those strategic partnerships? I think a lot of people would be interested in how that worked.
So I spent 16 years Samsung Electronics Africa. America.
Mm.
And those business partners, were like, the global number one, two type of retailers or telcos. And they purchased...
it was like product. AT&T.
AT&T, right. Verizon, right. T-Mobile, Sprint is gone. But
yeah,
and the Best Buy, Walmart purchasing all of our product. So they are buying not small amount, over $1 billion of TVs. One single customer, partner, or $4 billion, $5 billion type of thing. So think about the support from Samsung side. They are covering big chunk of our business. So attention is quite intense and supportive. So when I bring those business partners bring to Korea, that's our president, the CEO, chairman level, give a big support. That means I have to prepare more, right? It's not just a courtesy meeting,
it's not just shaking hands.
The content always, need to listen what they want to talk in Korea. Normally, the meeting with the supplier and the buyer, supplier wants to say what they want to say, and buyer wants to say what, but which I change it. That's how we develop it. Listen, what is your three key agenda or five agenda to fix it? That's a very high level, CEO level.
Sure.
We have to make some decision. So that's the every day I was being trained how we can understand our business partners' pain points or what they need to fix those issues. And then prepare, what can we do? We cannot fix all of their issues. So it should be quite clear and simple. We can do this. We can try. But this one is out of those experience I applied exactly the same way in South Africa. No matter what their business is, a tenth or a hundredth of what I handled in America. So that's what I trained. So it's quite natural. I didn't do anything special efforts at all. From my experience, it's quite, tell me what's your pain points and how do you want to grow together with us? And then come up with all, this is what we can do. And started to build, a trust because I was quite honest, open, right? And followed every discussion point for the next meeting. So started to open their mind, right? And build up, my customer like this. Can you make this product?
Mm.
So actually I come up with many the new product to fit into African market.
And just what's the sort of timeline here? Because if we have people who are, doing the research like you are, mm-hmm. trying to find out what customers want,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to feed that back to Korea, how quickly can they come up with the improvements that you require?
Well, developing new product takes at least 1 year, right? From the, if they start, decide to make, we will make that product. It will make normally 1 year because we have to check all, the engineering development and product quality testing, which will take quite a time. So security, and the quality control is quite a big thing. So 1 year, but I said if we decide to develop a certain product concept, but it takes a time.
Sure, of course.
For them to make a decision.
Yeah.
Why? So you ask this type of thing, but global market, it's tiny.
Yeah.
But it's big for African market. So it took a little time, but
did you have to be really careful because the other technology companies are looking and if they can find out what you're developing,
mm-hmm.
then they can get on that bandwagon and also start to develop similar things.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially there's industrial espionage going on and all the rest of it. You have to protect your research. You have to protect your ideas. And mm-hmm. then obviously you don't want to let the product leak before mm-hmm. the time either, right?
Yeah, but those products we are selling, TVs, fridges, and the smartphone, it's for, you know, people every day they use that. And the product concept, we can have something new technology, but that's eventually everyone can do that. Copying, or they may develop.
Is there a point where you just have to let it go?
It's more of how soon we can deliver, you know, quality product in the market. So we don't worry too much about those things. And that's kind of Samsung's little differentiation from, you know, the other, our competitors.
So speed, right? speed is important. Yes.
Don't worry about they will copy. We will be a first launch that type of product.
So Sung, also having been in America, having been in Korea, having been in Africa, you're dealing with very different cultures. You're dealing with very different requirements, languages, all of this stuff. Was it easy for you to still be able to get to the heart of what people wanted, no matter who you're talking to, which market you're talking to?
Yeah, well, it's quite different. American consumers or business partners and South Africa business partner consumers. But personally, this is a very personal thing. I feel more comfortable with the South African partners and the consumers. Part of the thing is because I know there are many common things between South Africa and South Korea people. Right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What sorts of things?
Warm heart people and...
well, that's nice to hear.
And the parents' generation put everything for their children's education.
Right.
No matter what, you know, how rich or poor, they do their best to helping. That helped Korea to grow from, you know, the one of the poorest country to... know, G7, G10 type of thing. And that's why I want South Africa prosper, just like Korea. I saw already investing put everything for their children.
Mm.
And they are very passionate to achieve together, right? If there is a goal and if they understand the goal, they are passionate to. Well, it's the same other countries, but I felt more comfortable with the South Africans.
That's great.
And partly I grew up in a very poor country and developed such a short time, like maybe 40, 50 years. So I see that type of vision. So understanding about the local new culture is, for me, it's kind of just open-minded.
Yeah.
Versus I'm going to tell or teach you,
right?
Versus, hey, tell me how I can do better for you, which I grew up with the Samsung, right? And that's what I wanted to tell in my book. Hey, first, good listener. I mean, I think all of the media is a very good listener first. What, you know, the speaker wants to say type of thing. So business is the same thing, or life is the same thing. Try to listen what your counterpart want, and how, you know, honestly and shortly deliver, efficiently deliver the words or the products or the software solutions type of.
Well, I mean, I looked through the pictures in your book too, and they're pictures of all the various things that you, the people you met, the places that you went, the things that you were involved in. And obviously Samsung also played a very important role in South Africa, which was a developing country, still is.
Mm-hmm.
A country that needed to establish itself. There were many industries that needed quite a lot of help. And you guys sponsored lots of interesting things across the country. You were involved in many projects that weren't necessarily bottom line income projects, but things that kind of warmed the people to your products and to the product name. And I think there are very few South Africans who don't know the name Samsung because of your tenure there and the work that you guys did.
Mm-hmm. So, well, what I tried slightly different while I was in Samsung, kind of, you know, I know we do many local supporting things, scholarship or called engineering academy, teaching for the either high school graduate and the college students how to repair the product, because we have a smartphone, television and the fridges type of thing, so they can be the service the engineer in the market. So there are many things, but sometimes those project activities can be slightly different or very different if CEO pay personal attention and join some of the, you know, the events or graduation or, you know, that will make a difference for the employee and to the, so we established, well, again, I listened to my local, the members. Hey, what do you think we can do better? For example, a scholarship. Okay. We did some scholarship, but they told me, hey, Song, although we give a scholarship, we cannot continue the following year because they quit. Oh. It's cool. Why? Because they cannot buy the, you know, textbook, or, you know, they cannot even commute from long distance. So they recommend, let's give some, you know, the money for living. So I said, okay, again, the leader's position is, I keep telling in my book, is make a decision versus listen, and no decision is the worst thing. So I always try to give a decision. So that worked. It's not me. It's not just a Samsung. I try to listen what they want and what is the more efficient way truly support. That is one example, as I told you. Scholarship, give money.
No, I love this. I mean, I think it's so important, and there's so many business leaders in South Africa especially who get frozen. They get the information and they're not sure what to do. They're so scared of making a mistake that they don't make a decision. And not making a decision can have even worse consequences than making the wrong decision, right?
Yeah. So I can tell you one case happened yesterday. Gina and I walked into one of the exclusive books, Rosebank.
Yes.
So one, you know, the young lady jumped on to me and say, "Oh, you are Mr. Song something." So I thought, since they are selling my book from last Friday, so probably, "Oh, you saw me on the book," and said, "No, are you selling? Do we have a bad book?" type of thing. "So how did you know me?"
Uh-huh.
"You were at my high school and you gave a short speech."
Oh, wow.
Wow. So
and she remembered.
Yeah. It was kind of, you know, good.
That's phenomenal.
Surprise. Yes.
Yeah.
So, do you really remember? Yeah, you looked the same. And I know there was hundred of students. I gave a short speech, exactly the same thing. "I grew up in Korea. Don't you know, give up. Your futures will depending on how you confront your challenges, right? Have a strong confidence." So that's what she told me briefly. So I was
fantastic.
Yes. Oh, well, we really touched about what she told me, and she's still intern. And I told to the book manager, "Well, if she behaves well, I will come back in June. Please think about."
Oh, wow. No, that's terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is those little things that sometimes, you know, you do during the course of your day. And for someone else, it can be life-changing. They can hear something that can inspire them. Mm-hmm. They can hear something that will put them on a career path. And you never know. And I think in South Africa, probably one of the most important things, and there is a lot in your book about how you worked on this and Samsung worked on this, we need more engineers, we need more scientists, more mathematicians, more people who can code, more technology experts, people who can repair things, do the skills involved with technology. Mm-hmm. That's obviously a huge gap, which could do a lot for unemployment in this country.
Well, honestly, right, I hired many the employee while I was in South Africa, actually a lot from the college graduate.
Hmm.
So why I did that, first 6 months, I tried to hire someone who have a global trading experience 5-10 years, it's difficult to find those people. As you said, we have a limited resources of engineers type of thing. And then I decided, okay, let's hire from college graduate and kind of give some guidance training. Some are very quick, 3 months.
Mm.
They did better than who had a 5 years experience type of thing, or 10 years. So good thing is the reason I'm saying South Africa future is prosper is because we have a very talented young generation. They don't know how good they are.
Really?
Really, yeah. As I told you, when I shared, hey, here is our goal and here is our strategy. And taught them over and over, right? As a CEO and if they understand and their performance is, I can tell you, first tier country level.
Really? That's very good. That's encouraging news.
Right. I'm not saying, oh, you're good from the beginning, but
no.
If they know and the way they understand, right, and technology or the product sales or whatever, I think we need, South Africa, we need a kind of confidence, not arrogant thinking, should have confidence. We can do it type of thing. Versus, that's unexpected challenges tends to give up without confidence. That's something I see a little different from countries because we are still developing countries. So, no, I'm really, that's from my experience.
I'm very happy to hear that because sometimes we're very hard on ourselves in South Africa.
I know. I'm not saying negative attitude, but think about just last week. I'm retired from Samsung, but as a Samsung alumni, there is a battery company in Samsung called the Samsung SDI. And I don't mind LG, and who was kind of a competitor, but LG SK, they have a good battery, global number 1, 2, 3 type of thing. So one of my kind of friends, I can say that, who is running independent power producer,
big company,
renewable energy, solar and the windmill, called me, hey, son, can you help to find the battery companies? Yeah, I know some of them. Well, I was not in that industry.
Yes.
So he's pretty strong for renewable energy in South Africa. And I know some big leaders. Actually, the CEO level is a friend of mine.
Right.
So, and there was a project released from, the ESCOM government for how we can keep those solar and the wind energy storage as a storage, battery storage. If we can keep a couple of hours, can fix our load shedding problem,
sure.
Right? I mean, it's not overnight.
No,
so it's quite interesting things. But what I like is, second chapter of my life, I want to contribute something for the life of South Africans and Korean companies, right? They have some good technology product and financial capabilities. Connecting those things. But what I really like is, I have all those connections, is those guys flew out to Korea, young, relatively young.
Wow.
But I saw they are very passionate. They were quite, we don't know battery. And, from the other side, the size of the company is not matching. But when they met, they saw the possibilities. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, okay, some of Samsung, LG guys told me, hey, let's just try to move to the next step. It's not like make a contract yet, but I like those South African young, entrepreneur, passionate people.
That's great to hear. So Song, you obviously have been watching what's been going on in the world of technology, even though you're retired from that now. And I like the reference that the second half, the second chapter of your life is yet to begin. But what do you think is going to happen in technology? Where do you see things going? Because there are a lot of people who are very nervous about things like AI. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are very concerned about the amount of time that particularly young people spend on these phones. They're on there all the time. Do you think that overall the benefits of technology outweigh the problems and the concerns? And what do you think you are concerned about when it comes to technology going forward?
Well, I think technology, especially these days, AI, some pros and cons.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the AI, artificial intelligence, is already there in smartphone, TVs. Right? Mm. Started like actually 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Very early stage, but the development is, quantum jump at certain point. So that's why one of the recent ChatGPT is, everyone is talking
right.
the future of that and the dangerous part of that type of thing. But think about the metaverse. Mm. Like it's just 1 year ago, around 1.5 year ago. Everyone talked about metaverse, right?
Right.
Oh, it will change the entire industry.
Yeah.
But it's not. And AI, right? It's not something new come up in the market this time. As I told you, it's already there. Right? Smartphone and TV has some sort of, very limited. So I don't think... Right, it will completely, AI will dominate people type of thing. No, there will be some solutions we will find. So that is enhance our people daily life. Otherwise, there will be many ways we can. I use ChatGPT when I have some questions, but. It's not 100% accurate.
Right.
It's great, wonderful product, but it has a limitation. And he cannot have this type of interview in the long run, right?
No, you can't. Not yet, but maybe one day.
But there is no humility. That's yeah. I just brought up Metaverse was kind of changing the entire world immediately, but it's kind of softened now. And ChatGPT, that's not going away, but I'm not worrying too much about that. And the South Africans, we know when I was here, the young generations are very smart to catch up the software skill set. So that's another chance for South Africa to develop for the future.
Now, you're living in South Korea, but you still come to South Africa for business. You're still looking at what South Africa is up to.
Mm-hmm.
And you spoke about the second chapter of your life. So what sort of things does South Africa still have to do with you? And how can we look forward to keeping up the business?
Yeah, good thing is started from May last year. I'm a honorable board member at Telkom.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So that's why I come to regularly.
Right.
When they have a big board meeting. It's interesting journey because I was the other side of Telkom and trying to help some, how to grow their strategy. It's a very interesting journey and the learning from my side and try to help. So again, my focus is how to share my experience, right? For the lives of South African people. And I'm Korean, so developing those relationship connections, if needed, that's more than happy. I can spend most of my time.
Well, it's a great pleasure to spend some time with you, and I wish you well with the book. I think it's going to be an excellent read for anybody who wants to know what the inside track is on business. There are lots of people in South Africa who are trying to understand how technology will impact on them. Decision-making, which is what you referred to earlier, and it's an important part
especially
of your book.
Especially for the leaders. Leaders,
absolutely.
Right? The definition
absolutely.
For the leader is making decision and should take responsibility of the result.
And the calculated risks, which is another thing that we haven't had a chance to get into, but I really think it's terrific. The Samsung Man's Path to Success, Turning Crisis into Breakthrough, is the book from Song Yoon. It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Cliffcentral.com.